Okay. Jo, Sheldon and team, well done. And to all of you, it's hot, hottest time of the year. Mike Rooney tells me there'll be aircon in here soon. I think it'll be just in time for winter. But that's the joy set before us, eh? No. Well done. It's still not as hot as Israel, trust me. Or hell. Thank you, Margot. If you think this is bad. I wanted to call what I want to say, History Makers. A few weeks ago, we sang that song by Delirious, I Want to Be a History Maker. You remember that? We spoke about history makers, and will we be history makers? And I had that on my heart, and I wanted to call it that. And then I actually realized that's not a good name. Because it's really not about us. It's not about what we become. We should be history makers in a good way, not in a bad way. But it's not about us. So I'd rather call this the Jesus Code. The Jesus Code. And it's not the book, The Jesus Code. There's apparently a devotional, a 52-week devotional about the questions Jesus asks in the Bible, and it's called The Jesus Code. I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying this is not that. Okay? I haven't read it. The Bible I've read, I haven't read that. Because this is not about us. My heart is that, and our heart is that the people, the world will see Jesus when they look at us. That they won't see us. They won't see us as history makers. They will think of Jesus. And they would love Jesus when they see us. That they will see his bride and they will see the groom's touch on the bride. Not just the bride, because it's all about him. We've been saying this for a few weeks, and I remember the first message of this year was God is saving the world and he chooses to use the church to save the world. And who's the church? Andres? You the church. You the church. You the church. We are the church. So he uses us. He chooses, I wouldn't use me. He chooses us to save the world. His way is to use you. Isn't that a crazy thought? Completely in charge and he still chooses us. Are we ready to be those people? Are we ready to be used by God? Ask the person next to you, hey, are you ready? If they said no, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But who will he use? And who can he use? Ezekiel 22 says, I looked for a man to stand in the gap for me, but there was none. It's so sad. God speaking. To stand in the gap means intercessory prayer, to take righteous action, to take ownership of what God's given you, to live a life reflecting Jesus. Isaiah 63, I looked, but there was no one to help. How sad, no one. God's saying, I'm looking and there's no one to help. And doesn't it make you feel, no, I want to help, pick me. You know, it makes me feel like that a little bit. It seems like the call is there, and it's been there through the ages. Very few actually respond. Isaiah responds in Isaiah 6, verse 8. He says, here I am, Lord, send me. And God uses him powerfully. Guess what happens to him? He's killed. By whom? God's people. King Manasseh of Judah, according to history, chopped him up. Jeremiah, according to history, stoned by God's people in Egypt. Jesus, the Son of God, you know what happened? By God's people. Yo, suddenly became serious here. When God moves, will we follow him or will we resist him and resist the ones who follow him? Often the biggest threat is from the people of God. So when he moves here, will we be the people who follow him? That's the question. Because he's looking for people. He's looking for people that will move with him. And not be where we are, but that we will be where he is. And you can say, yeah, but the Lord says, I am with you to the end of the earth. I'm with you. He says it to Joshua, be strong and courageous, and I'm with you. The Great Commission, I'll be with you. But what is it before that? You're given a commandment. You're given an order. And if you are in alignment with that order, if you obey, if you are in my will, I will be with you. So actually, it's to be where he is. It's not do what you want, I'll be with you. John 12, 26 says, whoever serves me must follow me and be where I am. Be where I am. Serving Jesus requires following him, not just being a fan of him. Yes, if you drift away, he will find you. He will come after you. He will pursue you. He will do what it takes, and he will get you. But then, stay in step with him. Follow him. Luke 5, verse 11, Jesus told his disciples, follow me. And they left everything, and they followed him. He didn't stick with him. He didn't go fishing with them on their fishing career, and he ministered from there. No, they left everything, and they followed him. God wants to lead us somewhere, guys. He wants to lead us. He wants to lead this congregation. He wants to lead Josh Chen. He wants to lead his people. Will we follow? He wants to do things in and through us. Will we allow him? Don't you want to be part of what he's doing? You know? If you do, tell the person next to you, yes, man, I want to be part of what he's doing. You know? I want to say, if you don't, you might be frustrated in this church. You might feel this church is not for you if you don't want to be used by God. You might be. If you feel like that, come and talk to me, because I'm sure we can make a plan. But let's be amongst the people who follow him. And here's the important point. It's important to learn this thing. Jesus is looking for people like him because he wants to replicate himself. And the way he does that is through people. And he cannot do that if there aren't people like him. What does that mean? It means we must be people like him, or his kingdom won't come. It's a godly principle to reproduce after your own kind. You see it in nature, and you see it spiritually. God is looking for a good example. He's looking for a blueprint. He's looking for a prototype. He even did that when he spoke to the Israelites. Isaiah 49, verse 6, long ago, you will be a light to the nations, he tells them. You will be an example. You will show them what I'm like and what you should be like. God is still looking for those kinds of people. Plan hasn't changed. People that will obey him, follow him, be in step with him, be where he is, and go where he goes. And by his spirit, by his grace, we can become that, that the nations can look to and see Jesus. Matthew 5:14, this is so interesting. Matthew 5:14, the beginning of his ministry, Sermon on the Mount, not quite the beginning, but in the first year or so, Jesus tells the people, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And then towards the end of his ministry and the Feast of the Tabernacles, he says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So who is the light of the world now? Is it now Jesus? Is it us? He's basically saying, you are the light because I'm in you. If you look like me, you are like me, and you shine your light like you shine my light. So we are that light. His light is replicated in us through us. And it's this biblical principle that things reproduce after their own kind. Now, especially in modern days, that's questioned. But in Genesis 1 already, God created plants and animals, and I don't have time to go into all that, but it was to reproduce after their own kind. For most of us, I think it makes sense, and God called it good. Even in Genesis 6, in the ark, that's why they needed pink ones and blue ones. So, in the ark, so they can survive when they get back out of the ark, to reproduce after their own kind. Makes sense, no? I see some nods. Okay, this is not a biology lesson. But you can't get a different kind from one kind. You don't get elephants from hippos, okay? Where's Lucy? I saw you, yes. Where's Lucy now? That Lucy, I'm talking about Lucy de la Rue. Why am I not seeing her? Anyway. Kids church, oh, she's serving kids church. Okay, Tyler, I'll use you. Thank you. How many siblings do you have? Two siblings. And how many of them are human? How many? Two. I mean, you might think your brother's a pig, but like, no? Not there, okay. No cats, no dogs. As siblings, I mean, not as pets. Nothing else, no hippos got born. People. Okay. Was that surprising? Why wasn't it surprising? Because we reproduce after our own kind. It's almost like, what? You know? And yet, we think we can reproduce Jesus and not live like him. God put a genetic code in us. I forgot what I said, sorry. It's a recording. I'll get back to it. I'm talking more about this. God put a genetic code in us, a DNA code. And by this genetic code determines what you are and who you are. God put it there. It's the way he does it. It's the way he grows us, in the way he makes sure that we reproduce. The code replicates and copies and copies. So bad things are copied and good things are copied. Nicolene, could you put up that picture, please? That's what it looks like at a very molecular level. That's a DNA strand. That is the genetic code. I'm sure this is not new to most of you. But that is what, when cells split, when you grow, cells split and they become more and more cells. And that strand splits apart and new proteins attach. And that's how you are replicated over and over and over. In that same way that we are reproduced, that makes certain that we stay the same, that people stay people. It's called mitosis. That's the scientific name. But God's natural system, this system, also aligns with the spiritual. It works the same in the spiritual. When God moves, he's looking for people who will reproduce the same kind, his kind. Because just like you have a natural DNA, a genetic code, Jesus gives us his code when we get saved. He gives us his Jesus code. From Adam, we have a corrupted code. We want to sin. And then we say, Lord, I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I give you my life. And he puts his Holy Spirit in us. This afternoon, we had the privilege of baptizing Arne. Are you here? I don't know if you... Are you... Tazi, you got baptized an hour ago, guys. Well done, by the way, at Big Bay. And we prayed for the Holy Spirit to enter him. And God puts his Spirit in us. And now he has the Jesus code. Not a corrupted code. That code is available to all of us. We believe him, we receive it. That's how we get saved. It changes our code. Then God says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is, brackets, born again, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The old has gone. The new Jesus code has come. The new has come. That means that if you are a Christian here today, that you've had a new spiritual birth. and you have a new spiritual genetic reset, and you carry that code. The old corrupted code is gone. It's replaced by the Jesus code. Romans 8:29 says, we will be like his son, Jesus. So Jesus is the firstborn of many. So Jesus is the prototype that God wants us to replicate. We become it, and he wants us to replicate it. And you've seen that happen, right? Because suddenly when you belong to Jesus, your relationship with sin changes. You see, you're different. When you've given your life to Jesus, you don't want, you might sin sometimes still, but you don't like it. You hate that. Sometimes you do like it, but you don't want to do it. And eventually you beat it and you overcome it and you move from one degree of glory to the next. Because he's put this new code in you. Spiritually, you changed. Being a Christian is not lifting your hand in worship, although that's very cool. It's not singing, jumping, showing up here. We do that as Christians. That doesn't make us Christians. Christian is becoming like the one who saves us, becoming like Jesus. That's what being a Christian is. But how's this? You'd think that with that Jesus code in us, okay, we're done, we sorted. You know? It's not okay just to have that code. You might have the best talent to be a sprinter. If you don't nurture that talent, if you don't nurture those genes, you will not become a sprinter. Or you might, an accident might happen. I used to be able to do some things. I was in a few accidents. Now I can't do them anymore. I can't. So even though I have the genes, I can't operate in it. Let's not do that with the Jesus code we're given. Let's not let it get stolen. Let's not let it get injured. We can easily damage this genetic code, this Jesus code. We can lose our way. It happens in the Bible, Galatians 3:3. Paul writes and he says, you foolish Galatians, you started in the Holy Spirit, but you ended in human effort. Who has tricked you? So what Christ came to do was corrupted. It got stolen. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, Paul writes and he says, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as worldly infants. NLT says as people of the flesh. But in the first chapter of that letter, they were spiritual people. In the first chapter, he speaks about the Holy Spirit gifts. He speaks about a solid church. He even says, God made it possible for you to be in Jesus. You were in Jesus. This is the letter to the believers. And then in the third chapter, he says, I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as people of the flesh. So that code is not enough. You have to nurture that code. But they neglected that code that was given. We're called to be fruitful for the nations, to be mature. That's what he's saying. You're supposed to be mature. You're supposed to be counting for the nations. You're supposed to be going on outreaches and be salt and light. Instead, you are quarreling amongst yourselves. You are upset and you are this and that and looking for excuses. And you need milk like babies, Paul says. Controlled by your own sinful desires. You're jealous. You quarrel. Something went wrong with this Jesus code. Because it got either injured by an event, or I'm too hurt, or I'm too scared, or it was just neglected. So if the Lord looks at us, what do you think he would say? If Paul was alive today, would we get a letter? And what would it say? Would it say similar things? Will we reach that potential? That potential that Jesus code in us can reach. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's not up to one day somebody that preaches much better than this is going to arrive and then make the change. No, it's up to you. I'm sorry. You know, this is it. It's up to you. Okay. So we call to nurture and reproduce this code. And I want to touch on one thing, how we can do that. Just one thing. I don't have a long list. And that's by the church you're in and that church's leaders. What is your posture towards that, your engagement with it? The church you belong to is so important. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 to 7, Paul writes this. to this church, to the people there. He says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. It's actually Greece. And then he says, not only there, your faith has become known everywhere. So it's possible to be a model church. It's possible to model this Jesus code well, to live it well and model it well. Do you think Jesus, when he looks at us, will say that? It was a model to the believers. If we do this right, we can be that model. We can be that model, easy. One day in heaven, Jesus says, Josh Jin, you were the model in Cape Town. Thank you, you were the model. I know it's hot on a Sunday afternoon. Do we carry that Jesus code? Do we nurture it? How are we doing with this, guys? That's the question. God will only save this world through the church. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. He tells Timothy, and he could be speaking to any of us, because it's a personal letter, and he says, set an example. We're called to be an example, not just to go along, but to be an example in speech, life, love, doctrine. Not only doctrine either, not only about the knowledge of this. It's good to know stuff about this. But I want to say it's unless you live what you know, unless you live what you know, it's dangerous. Because people catch what you've got, not what you say. I think you've heard some people say that before. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So spoke to you the word, okay? Not told you what to do. Spoke to you the word, and then consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So they taught the word, but what do you copy? Their way of life. So can our way of life be copied? And people can say, wow, that's a model church. And what changes do we have to make for that? So in closing, the main thing, many miss this truth. God is moving. God is moving. He's doing things. And he will do that with or without us. But I want to be part of it. I don't know about you. I want to be part of it. And I would love for all of us to be part of it. And we'll see one day. I don't want to miss it. Ezekiel 22, who shall I send? I looked for a man, but there was none. Luke 18, 8. Jesus says, will I find faith when I return? Will he find his code? We need leaders who are willing to surrender, live surrendered lives, willing to submit their lives, to make their lives worthy of being followed. We need leaders. To say, I want Jesus reproduced through me. Can you truly say that? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. It can take a struggle. It can take finances. It can take time. It can take prayer. It can take time on my knees. We need people who will say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I want Jesus reproduced through me. I live for Jesus. People that will stop living for their own comforts. Because this age is all about comfort. Comfort's good. But what would you rather want? Are we living to preserve what we have or to give it away for him? God wants his kingdom here, guys. Yeah. But to do that, he's looking for people that will represent him well. So that's what I want to call you to. For people that will say, Lord, a zeal for your house consumes me. I have a zeal for you. And another day I'll speak about that. I'll speak about zeal. But can we say that zeal consumes me? I'm making my life decisions based on this zeal, this passion for you, Lord, because you are what's most important. I have your genetic code in me. I cannot not do it. I must reproduce something after you. Can we say that? And the scary thing is that if as a church we miss this and God moves on, we will probably be frustrated and maybe even persecute the ones who actually do follow him. And we'll be the ones pointing out, oh no, that, no, no. The church has always done that historically. That's the scary part. And it's almost unthinkable. Now you think, no, Lord, no, surely not me, just like Peter. Surely not me. Will you stand with me, please? I'd love for us to just pray together about this. Let's close our eyes. Oh Lord, we want to reproduce after you, Lord. We want your code. Lord, and I pray that where this code have been corrupted, either by injury or event or just neglect, that you will come and restore that code, Lord, that you will replace it and put your DNA back in us, Lord, that we will reproduce after you, Lord. We want more of your spirit. We want more of your nature. And guys, repentance is just literally reflecting Jesus better. That's one way of talking about repentance. So if right now you feel, oh, I know, and the Holy Spirit might be raising little bits in your life, in your heart, that, well, that thing, that doesn't really reflect me. Won't you give it to him right now? Just in your heart. People's eyes are closed. I'm not asking you to put your hand up or anything like that. Just respond to him right now and repent to him. Whatever it is, if it's neglecting his code, neglecting what you know he wants you to do, how he wants you to be, areas of compromise, areas of sin, areas where you've made it about you, not about him. Whether it's in work, whether it's at school, whether it's at play, whether it's the things you look at, whether it's how you speak, you can repent now. Right now, you can just do that. In your own words to him. It's not to me, it's to him. I want to give a moment for that.